Well, if you have a Bible, please do open with me to Psalm 23, this well-known psalm that tells us of the greatness of our God who is our shepherd. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God's word, and we're thankful for it.
Good evening. Can everybody understand me okay? Because Gareth McKillen made a comment this morning. They won't understand what you say, but at least they'll know your heart's in the right place. So we've got a few translators here from Coleraine and Port Stewart. Today, if you want to understand more of what I'm saying, and maybe don't, but at least Spurgeon had a country accent as well, so at least I have that in common with him. So I want to just suggest two books just before I kick off. One's by Derek Kidner. It's a little commentary that might be pretty handy for you if you're looking through the Psalms by yourself. And then there's another one here as well by a guy called Sidney Gradenis. And this probably isn't one you'd pick up and read on the plane. It's absolutely massive, and it's about sermons. But if you're ever preparing, this has been a real help to me in just helping me understand a bit more about the Psalms, and especially this one. Let's just pray again as we just come to God's word and ask him for his help to understand this. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we have cold hearts. And Father, we have hearts that are hard, Lord, and I just pray that your word would speak to us, Lord. Your Holy Spirit would use your word, Lord, to melt our cold hearts, Lord, to break our hearts of stone. Father, that we would see Christ in this psalm and we would rely on him and rest in what he has done. In your son's precious name we pray, Father. Amen. Well, I'm sure everybody in this room would agree with the fact that life is tough. We live in a very restless world. There's always something to think about. There's always something to worry about. There's lots of pressures in the world from people, from work, from family. There's pressures to be something, pressures to be a good parent, pressures to look pretty, pressures to be manly, pressures to put food on the table to pay the bills. And the world is very against Christianity. There's pressures to leave Christian principles behind, pressures to sin, pressures to deny the Lord. There's lots of other reasons to worry and to be anxious about what people think of me, about exams, situations that are difficult, friends, hospital appointments, ones we love who are maybe ill as well. There's lots of questions that arise maybe from life. Where will I be whenever I die? Where is God? Is he real? Does he care? Does he love me? Am I a Christian? And sometimes there are times whenever the Christian feels battered and beaten down and run down. You feel busy all the time. You feel like you're just falling into the same old sins. You feel like everything's against you. You maybe feel lonely and afraid and worried and restless. And maybe the cry of your heart tonight is, where can I find rest? Not just physical rest, which we all need sometimes, but true rest. Rest for the inner being. Rest for the soul. Well, tonight in our text, David has found true rest. And we're going to look tonight at how David and this psalm really highlights three things. The first thing is that the Lord provided David with true rest. The second thing is that the good shepherd provides his sheep with true rest. And thirdly, where can we find true rest? So let's take firstly then the first four verses of the psalm, and then we'll address the fifth and the sixth as well in the first point. So David addresses the people of Israel. And the people of Israel are God's chosen people in the Old Testament. And here, David uses two very different illustrations. He uses one illustration to describe the Lord as his shepherd, and another to describe the Lord as his host. Here's what R.C. Sproul says. He says this: "This psalm is perhaps the best known example of a psalm of confidence. It is two governing metaphors, expressing God's care and goodness, the shepherd and the banquet table." So first of all, let's take this idea in the first four verses of God being David's shepherd. The people of Israel were agricultural people, as was David himself. They knew what a shepherd was. But the shepherd, or the kind of shepherd they had back then, is very different to the shepherd we have nowadays. The shepherd back then would have always been with his sheep. The sheep were completely dependent on the shepherd. Kidner notes this: "The shepherd lives with his sheep and is everything to it, its guide, physician, and protector." And shepherds would have led their sheep, and they would have led their sheep to green pastures, because in green pastures, there was food and rest for the sheep. And they would have led them by still waters so they could drink and rest and be peaceful. If the sheep would have come across very rough waters, then they could have been dragged away. Not good for a sheep to be floating down a stream. And the shepherd would have led the sheep to ensure that they would have walked down the right paths, that they would have been safe, not dangerous paths. However, there were always unavoidable valleys that had to be tackled by the shepherd. Very scary valleys, which he had to lead his sheep through and care for them. And the sheep would have carried a rod to fight off enemies like animals. And he would have had a staff which would have supported him as he walked, or to prod the sheep to ensure they were walking in the right direction and not wandering off all over the place. So David takes this kind of language here and he uses it to describe his relationship with God. Because God is his shepherd, he exclaims, "I shall not want," in verse 1. The NIV helpfully translates this as, "I lack nothing." It seems to be here that David is satisfied and finds rest in God. Well, why? Well, in verses 2 to 4, David seems to paint this picture of rest. We see this idea of sheep lying down in pastures. David says here that he finds rest in God. He's spiritually nourished by God. Again, the picture of still waters is this impression of rest. This satisfaction that quenches the thirst. The ESV notes this as waters of rest. David says here that God restores his soul. We see here that God to David is like fulfillment and revival. There's provision physically for him, that's true. But can food and water and rest do what David's talking about here for him? For David, God restores his soul. And as David's shepherd, the Lord leads him down all the right paths where God wants him to be, for God's sake and for God's glory. The next verse even says that these valleys might lead, or so these paths might lead to dark valleys, tough and brutal times. The ESV describes this as the valley of the shadow of death. And David talks about how he's in it. And even there, David finds rest and comfort in God. The Lord, with his rod, fights off his enemies, and with his staff, directs and leads David. But what is it about God that David finds rest in? Here's another couple of Psalms to maybe jog your memory or to help you. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Psalm 51, verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there's great reward. It seems here that David finds rest in following and knowing God. True rest. Even in the darkest of times. Yes, there's physical provision of food and water, a rest. But we know from the rest of the Bible that David has had very, very tough times. He's clearly not in it for the money. He doesn't say, I shall not lack, or I'm satisfied in food and rest and water or money or worldly pleasures. He says he's satisfied in God. He finds true rest in him. He lacks nothing because he has God, and he fears nothing because he has God. Secondly, then, verses 5 to 6, God is David's host. We see a kind of metaphor shift here from this picture of a shepherd to a picture now of a host. Kidner says this, the shepherd imagery has served its purpose to be replaced by one of greater intimacy. We see here a person-to-person image, not a shepherd to sheep. To understand this fully, we must go back to the Old Testament times. If you were hosting a guest in the Old Testament times, they would have prepared a really large meal for the guest. One that I probably wouldn't have been allowed to attend because my fiancé is a dietitian. But there would have been lots of food and lots of wine to the point that the wine was overflowing from the cups. Whenever a guest came, the host would welcome the guest and pour oil over the guest's head to show affection and care for the person. Even better, if you were a guest and you were in the tent of a shepherd, well, it was the custom that your enemy couldn't touch you. Might have come in handy sometimes. We see this whenever Lot pleads with the people in Sodom not to touch the angels because the angels are his guests. Well, again, similar to that in verses 1 to 4, David uses language of a host to demonstrate his rest and satisfaction in God. Was this because of physical prosperity, like food and wine? But Gridanus notes that David has been pursued by his enemies, King Saul, the Philistines, even his own son. David's life has been marked with worry and affliction. So it couldn't really be all for physical prosperity. What is it then that's going on? There's something here that's much deeper going on here again. Well, David is satisfied in God as he would be with much food. David's affection for God and God's affection for him brings him joy. It's like wine overflowing, joy overflowing in a sense. And it seems here, in even the darkest of times, David is satisfied in God. He finds rest in God and comfort and joy. Kidner notes how it's not necessarily the feast that's a big deal, but the prospect. He says this, in the Old Testament world, to eat and to drink at someone's table created a bond of mutual loyalty and could be the culminating token of a covenant. To be God's guest is to be more than an acquaintance invited for the day. It is to live with him. So because of this relationship with God, Because David is God's host, he will continue to know God for all his days. God and his goodness and mercy, although David's enemies pursued him, we now see this kind of picture of goodness and mercy pursuing David because God is pursuing him. David finds in God comfort and rest even in the presence of his enemies. And forever, well, back in the Old Testament days would have meant for the rest of my days I'm on earth. But here we see that forever as well means forever, eternally. So as we've kind of went through the psalm, this brings to us the question of how can I know God in this way? How can this prayer of David's, the prayer that was Israel's as well, be my prayer? And the only way that we can see this, the only way that we can see the psalm in its fullness and how it can become our prayer personally is found in Jesus, the Son of God. So that takes us on to our second notion, our second point. The Good Shepherd provides rest for his sheep. So as we kind of progress in the Bible, we come to Ezekiel 34. And God makes a promise to Israel that he would come down and shepherd his own flock. Because Israel's leaders were not leading the sheep, that's the people of Israel, properly, or as they should be. So the people of Israel here are waiting for a shepherd to come. And a long time later, God the Father sends Jesus, the Son of God, and he said that he was the good shepherd. I'm good friends with a guy called Joe Livingstone, and we went to Rathlin for our Duke of Ed bronze expedition, if you could call it that. And as we were walking up a kind of mountain one day, we came across this ram who got its head stuck in some kind of wire. And I suggested to Joe that it'd be a really good idea to get fairy liquid that we had been using for the washing up and to kind of lather its neck in it so that it would slip out. Not good shepherding on my behalf. The ram actually got out without the fairy liquid in the end, but at least I had a very clean neck to show off to the other lady sheep. So by calling himself the good shepherd, what Jesus means is here that he does everything right for the sheep. He'll never leave them. He'll never treat them poorly. He will always fulfill his duty as the shepherd. And Jesus fulfills the role of the shepherd that's prophesied about in Ezekiel 34. But how does he do this? Well, in verses 1 to 3 of the psalm, we see this idea of the shepherd being good to his sheep by providing food and water and rest. Well, Jesus did provide that, physical food and water and rest, whenever he fed the 5,000. He provided for those who were sheep without a shepherd. But what about this real rest, this true rest that David speaks of? Well, Jesus, speaking to the people who were tired of sinning and tired of trying to earn their way to heaven, which nobody can do, said in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." When it came to food and water for the soul, well, in John 6, verse 35, it says this, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And to the Samaritan woman at the well, he said that if she asked, he would give her living water, that she would never be thirsty again, that the water that he gave her would become a spring welling up to eternal life. Jesus here clearly provides for the soul. He provides everlasting life. True satisfaction is in him. Spiritual nourishment is in him. True rest for the soul is in Christ. But you may ask then, well, what about this valley of the shadow of death? How does Jesus protect his sheep? How does he lead them? Well, because Jesus lived a perfect life on earth, because he was sinless, he leaves us with a perfect example of how to live as sheep. He was the perfect leader of the flock. And what about this protection that he provides for the sheep provides for the sheep from their enemies? Well, Jesus said, "I lay my life down for the sheep," in John 10, verse 17. And this was because the sheep, or his people, Their biggest enemy was sin. And because God is just, he must punish sin. And the right punishment for sin is death, which in the Bible means eternal punishment and separation from God. Because of this punishment, which awaited the sheep, Jesus died on the cross, hence laid down his life and absorbed the punishment for the sin of the sheep on the cross. Because David knew the Lord and was with him, he didn't fear any evil. And Jesus was with his sheep, and he always leads them through the valley of the shadow of death. He laid down his life for his sheep so that they wouldn't face the punishment for their sin. Gradina says again and discusses how the central message of this psalm is, you are with me. And as God was with Israel as they walked through the dark valleys, so Jesus is with his flock and never leaves them or forsakes them, but he guides them and comforts them with his rod and staff, laying down his life for them on the cross. So what about this idea then of Jesus as a host? Well, Jesus hosted a dinner during his time on earth. And this was called the Last Supper, which happened just before his death. He gave his disciples bread to represent his body, which would be broken, and wine to represent his blood, which would be spilled on the cross for his sheep, so that they could be free from the punishment of sin. And then 3 days later, he rose again, so that anybody who believes in him will live forever with him. So where is true rest? We find rest in the Good Shepherd. And bringing us then to our final point about where we can find true rest. So as I've said before, then rest for our souls is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he brings this psalm to its fullness. He allows us, if we're in Christ, to pray this prayer for ourselves. And we all walk through dark valleys, from struggles to sin, to difficult times in life, even death itself. And you may ask then, well, how can I find rest in those times? How can I know that my shepherd and my host is with me? Well, the first question that we must answer and that arises here is, who are the sheep? Who are the guests? Well, they are those that live by faith in Christ. They are Christians. They're not just anybody. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, and you don't have Christ as your shepherd and as your host, and you're tired of trying to earn your way to heaven, and you're tired of trying to stop sinning, and you're weary, and you just want rest for your soul, well, I have the best news for you ever. And our best news meets us in our very, very dark times. And I want to lovingly tell you the bad news first. The bad news is that everybody has sinned against God. They are sinners. And God is perfect and loving, and therefore he must punish sin. And the just punishment for sin is eternal punishment and separation from God in hell. And the problem with that is that God is true joy and rest. And if you don't have God, then you will not have this. But there's hope. God sent his son Jesus to take on human flesh. He was truly God, truly man. And Jesus lived the perfect life in the place of sinners. And he died on the cross for sinners. And he took the punishment for sin that they deserve. And he rose again to show that the punishment, the payment for that punishment was accepted by the Father. And he offers himself to you tonight as a free gift. You don't need to do anything to try and earn your way to heaven, because you can't. You can't pay off the debt of your sin. So receive him tonight. Believe in him and you will have his righteousness. And he'll be your sacrifice for your sin, paying for every past, present, and future sin through his death on the cross. Everything that needs to be done for salvation is in Jesus. As a famous preacher once said, there's nothing left for you to do but to rest in what he has done. So repent today. Turn from your sins and take him at his word that Jesus is who he says he is and that he's done what he said he's done. And in Christ, you'll find true rest. You'll live with him forever. But for those who are sheep tonight, for those who are believers and Christians, maybe the valley is very different for you. Maybe tonight the valley is assurance. And I've walked through this valley many a time. And I still do sometimes from day to day. And the cry of your heart might be tonight, well, how can I know I'm a sheep? Well, let me point you again to the good shepherd. And I want to encourage you to listen to his voice as he cries out on the cross, it is finished. And let me remind you of his perfect, sinless life and of his promises. Did he not say that anybody who comes to him, he'll never send away? Did he not say that anybody who believes in him will have or has currently eternal life? Does his word not say that anybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved? Let me encourage you that if you're obeying his commands, if you're producing the fruit of the Spirit, then Jesus is your shepherd tonight. Jesus is your host tonight. Bearing in mind that this is not perfectly keeping his commands or having perfect desires and a perfect sinless life. The Christian life is imperfectly following the shepherd with many stumbles and many falls. There's evidence to show you're one of his sheep. And the evidence and the fruit that you're following the shepherd may be very small, but it still shows the Holy Spirit is in you tonight, causing you to follow the shepherd. And if you're confused about whether you don't know, or I don't know whether I produce the fruit to show that I'm following the shepherd, and you're looking inward all the time, well, I want to encourage you, stop and look out to the shepherd. Listen to his voice, take him at his word, and you will gradually see footsteps that show you're following the shepherd. Maybe tonight your valley is sin, and you just feel you're caught up in it. You're tangled in sin. You're habitually falling into the same sin over and over, and you're tired and you're restless. You're weary from the fight. Well, can I remind you about what he said again? He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And he did. The penalty for sin is paid, past, present, and future. Rest in what Christ has done. Maybe you find sin so appealing that you're stuck in it. Well, remember that David said about God, you restore my soul. My cup overflows. By remembering what Jesus has done for sinners and who he is and his promises, you will find rest for your soul, no matter how long this might take. By stirring your affections for the shepherd and for the host through the message of the gospel, your soul will be restored. And you'll find strength to fight sin and to put it to death. And maybe you actually just do need a rest. You need a good sleep. I find that busyness and being around people all the time, is a disaster for my holiness. Just ask Sophie. I need time to think and reflect on what the shepherd has done for me. I need a constant Bible study every day. I need to be with the Lord in prayer every day, or else I begin to slip and my holiness towards other people begins to dip. Maybe your valley tonight is just suffering or worry or mental health or pressures at work or family life or just being burnt out spiritually. Well, listen to the words of David in this psalm again as we begin to close. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is with you tonight if you're a believer. As you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, regardless of what the valley is, he is leading you down the right path, paths of righteousness tonight. He is most concerned about his glory and your holiness. And that might sound absolutely crazy to you at the moment, but you can find comfort in him and who he is. He cares for you. As one of his sheep and as one of his guests, he loves you. And your eternal security, or your eternal destiny rather, is secure because of what Christ has done for you. You'll dwell with him forever and ever, where every tear will be wiped away from your face and there will be no more sorrow and no more pain. So fix your eyes on the shepherd tonight and the glory that awaits you. Whether the end of the valley is the end of the season you're going through, or death itself, you can know that he is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He cares for his sheep. He knows them. He cares for his guests. He knows them. Find rest in his promises. Find rest in his sovereignty. He will provide all that you need to live a righteous life in him. Remember who your shepherd is and who your host is, and you will find all you need in Christ tonight. So what's the punchline of the psalm? As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the dark valley, we can find true rest in Jesus. As David found rest in God, we can find true rest in Jesus. Let's just pray for us here. Father, we go through times in our lives, Lord, when the valley seems so dark. And Father, like John Bunyan crawling on his hands and knees through the shadow of the valley of death, Lord, in Pilgrim's Progress, we feel so alone sometimes and so afraid. Lord, help us to hear the shepherd's voice tonight. Help us to hear the host celebrating over his guests, and help us to remember what Christ has done and who he is, and how in him there is everlasting life and satisfaction for our souls, Lord. Father, just pray for anybody tonight who's not saved here, that needs to be saved. Help them to understand the good news of the gospel and to repent and believe in you and your Son. Father, be with us now as we go on, and help us to remember our shepherd and our host. In your Son's name we pray, Father. Amen.